Hi. So I've been listening to some of these hysterical literature posts and enjoying them immensely. So I decided I would try my hand at it. Actually, instead of my hand, though, I'll be using my Hitachi. So I am reading an excerpt. Chapter 12 from Exit to Eden by Anne Rice. My starting point is not at the proper beginning of the chapter. It's a little ways in. So here we go. White hallway, a pair of heavily carved double doors. Silence. Okay, you're much too stable for a total psychotic break. The handler snapped his fingers. Go inside, Elliot, and wait there silently on your knees. The door's closed behind me. He was gone, and I felt the panic rising as keenly as ever before. I was looking at a large room, done entirely in blue tints, with violent splashes of bolder color that caught the light. There was no electric illumination in here. Only the sun filtered through the blue and violet flowered curtains over the French doors. Yards of vermilion carpet, and on the walls, giant Renoirs and Seurats, intermingled with Haitian paintings. Brilliant works of full of Haitian sky, green hills, and dark stick-figured Haitians at work, at play, in the dance. There were long-faced African masks, as well as Indian masks, and bright enameled green and red. Graceful serpentine African sculptures of wood and stone rose here and there out of banks of potted palms and ferns. And to my left, its head against the wall, loomed a large four-poster brass bed. The thing reminded me of a giant gold cage. It had drapery rods and scroll work, and it was hung in all white cotton lace, even to the sheer curtains that enveloped it in a diaphanous cloud. Heaps of lace-trimmed pillows lay piled on the ruffled cotton spread. A bower is what it was, the kind of fanciful thing men often love, but can't arrange for themselves, leaving it to the women in their lives to create. I saw myself walking towards it. I was dressed in a black tuxedo, and I had a bouquet of flowers in my hand. Ordinary daisies. And I bent down and kissed a girl who was sleeping on the bed. That kind of bed. But there wasn't any girl in it. She wasn't anywhere in sight. Time just to enjoy the intensity of the room. The way it... Oh, God. So marvelously suggested the forbidden, even in this forbidden place. The slight, movement of the green tree branches beyond the flowered gauze of the window curtains was something, something like a dance. I felt a rush of blood to my head. A sudden disorientation. A trap door had opened. Oh, fuck. And I had... stumbled into some secret chamber. And the whole room distressed me suddenly for no apparent reason. The mess of silver articles before the circular mirror on the dresser. Boxes, perfume bottles, brushes. A black satin high-heeled shoe lying on its side by a chair. All that snow-white lace. Oh, God, I sat back on my heels, looking around, wishing my face wasn't so hot, and the rest of me wasn't so hot. I had been in stuffy, feminine Victorian bedrooms at Martin's house, but this was different, uncontrived, even a little insane. Not a stage set for all the craziness here, but a real place. Oh, God. Fuck, I lost my place. This is what I get for not reading from the book. Jesus. Oh, there were lots of books. Shelves of them on a far wall. And they were all chewed up like somebody really had read them all to death. Paperbacks, stuffed in with hardcovers, some of them patched up with tape. I stared forward at nothing and everything, at a white leather chain dangling from the ceiling with a pair of leather handcuffs attached to it, at that black satin shoe lying on its side. And when a door opened somewhere with a soft, almost inaudible click, I felt the hairs rise on the back of my neck. She had come out of the bath. Oh, I could smell the perfumed steam of the bath. One of those piercingly sweet floral scents. Very nice. And some other aroma. Something clean and smoky and mingled with the perfume. Her smell. She moved across the room into my field of vision without making a sound. She was wearing spike heel slippers of white satin, like the black one discarded by the chair. And above that, she wore nothing but a lace-trimmed slip that came halfway down her thighs. The slip was cotton. Bad luck. I don't really care one way or the other about the feel of a body through nylon, but a body under sheer cotton drives me out of my head. Her breasts were naked under the slip, and her hair hung down in a dark shadow about her shoulders. Something like a Virgin Mary veil. Oh, God. Lost my place again. Oh. And even through the slip, I could see the dark triangle between her legs. Again, I had that sense of a force emanating from her. Fuck. Beauty alone couldn't account for the effect of her presence. Oh, Jesus. Fuck. Oh, God, this is such a wall of text. This is horrible. Even in this insane room, though beauty she certainly had. Oh, God. I never should have sat back without her permission. And look at her directly. That was a violation of the rules of the game. Yet I did. I looked up at her. Oh, my head was slightly bowed, and when I saw her small, sharply angled face, her large brown eyes almost brooding as we stared at each other, the sense of her force intensified. Oh, her mouth was indescribably luscious. It was rouged without gloss, so that the deep red appeared natural. Oh, and the bones of her delicately sloping shoulders were for some mysterious reason as enticing to me as the full slope of her breasts. But the current coming from her was not the sum of all the splendid physical details. No, it was as if she gave off invisible heat. She was smoldering in a skimpy little slip in the fragile satin slippers. And you couldn't see the smoke, but you knew it was there. There was almost something inhuman about her. She made me think of an old-fashioned word, the word lust. I looked down deliberately, and going on my hands and knees towards her, I stopped when I had reached her feet. I could feel the force coming from her, the heat. Oh, my God. I pressed my lips to her naked toes, to her instep above the band of satin. And I felt that strange, baffling shock again that left a tingling in my lips. "Stand up," she said softly. "And keep your hands clasped behind your back." I rose as slowly as I could, without breaking the movement. And when I obeyed, I was certain my face was really red. But it wasn't the old ritualized emotion. I stood over her, and though I didn't look at her again, I could see her perfectly. The well between her breasts, and the dark rose-colored circles of the nipples under the white slip. She reached up, and I almost backed away from her. God, feeling her fingers move into my hair. She clasped my head tightly, massaged it with her fingers, sending the chills down my back, and then brought her fingers slowly over my face, the way a blind woman might, to see it. Feeling of my lips and my teeth. Oh, God. It was a touch of someone burning with fever. The hot dancing tips of her fingers. It was further heated by some low sound she made. Like a cat's purr without opening her lips. "You belong to me," she said in something lower than a whisper. "Yes, madam," I answered. I watched helplessly as her fingers dropped to my nipples and pinched them. Pumping them as my body tensed. The sensation shot down through my cock. "Mine," she said. Oh, God. I felt this compulsion to answer her, but I didn't say anything. Oh, my mouth opening and then closing as I stared at her breasts. That sweet, clean, smoky scent came to me again. Flooded me. I thought, I can't bear this. I have to have her. She's using some altogether new weapon on me. I can't be tormented like this. In this silent bedroom, this is too much. "Back up there to the center of the room," she said in a low monotone, advancing as she spoke, her fingers still pressing and pulling at my nipples. Oh, God. Pinching them. Oh, God. Pinching them hard suddenly, so that I gritted my teeth. "Oh, we are sensitive, aren't we?" she said, and our eyes met again, the heat blazing in hers, her red lips. Just parted to show the barest flesh of white teeth. I almost begged her. Oh, said please. My heart was skipping as if I'd been running. I was on the very edge, bolting, just backing off from her. Oh, God. I didn't know what exactly. Trying to shatter her power. Yeah, there wasn't the remotest possibility that I would or could. Oh, God. Oh, she rose on tiptoe in front of me. I could see she had a hold of something above me. And I glanced up and a pair of white leather handcuffs. Fuck, with buckles dangling at the end of the white leather chain. glad I had forgotten about the stuff seemed a fatal error. But what did it matter, after all? Lift your hands, she said. No, not too high, my tall beauty. Just over your head a little, or I can still reach them. Fine. I heard myself shudder. Little symphony of stressful admissions. Oh, God. I think I was shaking my head. Leather went around my left wrist, buckled very tight, and then around my right. Oh, fuck. My wrists were crossed, bound together, and... Oh, fuck. And as I stood helplessly, oh, fuck. As if six men were holding me there, she went to the far wall, and... Oh, God. Oh, God. And pressed a button, and it silently... made the leather chain above me retract into the ceiling. Oh, fuck. Causing the cuffs. Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I guess that's done then. And I hadn't gotten to my favorite part yet. Oh well. Thanks for listening.